and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show, a jam-packed show today. Yeah, parade of superstars. We have Carl Frisch, John Yarmuth, Chuckley Congressman Extraordinaire.
That's right.
The rockin' congresswoman from the great state of Illinois, Representative Jan Schakowsky, and actor-comedian Carlos Sells Rocky, all on the big show today. Yay!
Hooray!
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Awesome hate letter coming up. You know, I was thinking, in the Isn't It Ironic file?
Isn't it ironic?
The Ku Klux Klan wanting to adopt a highway. Did you see that?
Yeah. I did see that.
Mm-hmm. In that they are white trash.
That is ironic.
No need to pick it up.
They should be dressed in plastic garbage bags.
Yes,
you
exactly.
Wrote that yourself?
I did write it myself. I'm a big girl. All right. Anthony, it's hard to say. So many awesome hate letters, right?
Right.
Particularly since we got the little TV show.
Sure.
There was the guy last week in Alabama that sat on his remote.
Yeah.
And he ass-chose me.
Yeah.
And it didn't end well for him.
Is that the one who rubs slat in your wounds?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, over the recall in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not good spellers, generally.
No.
Not strong spellers.
No.
All right, this
I'm
one
not
from
a strong
Anthony.
Speller.
No. This one, let me get my bleep. I normally have to get my bleep button ready. Anthony, just wanted to let you know, I never watch your show, just happened to turn my TV on, and it was on.
Well, someone in his household turned it on.
It only takes some doing, you know. Yeah. You know, it's a fine car, and it's not the easiest thing in the world. You know, it's not like, you know, NBC, CBS, or...
I think George Soros came down his chimney and personally changed
right,
the channel.
Right, I bet
okay.
you did. I'm sure
that's so he just turned the TV on, and there was current.
There it was.
Yeah.
All
this
right.
never ends well for
no.
me. No. For starters, your show is horrible.
Oh, thank you.
I don't believe in God, but I do believe e things happen to e people. I guess
okay.
that would be me. I'm sure, by the looks of your show and the topics discussed, you're probably Baptist. What?
He's,
What?
Yeah.
A little confused.
I don't
what?
Think, really, any of us are
no.
Baptists. I'm farthest thing from Baptist.
Ex-Catholic.
Right.
Atheist. And you, Jim?
Ex-Episcopalian, sort of. I haven't been to church since the Nixon administration.
Hypocrisy probably consumes your life. Oh, no. I would say more just a, you know, general sense of
ennui,
bad decisions, alcohol. Also, here's my favorite. Also, you have a very manly voice, and women who wear hats are downright stupid. Sincerely, your f***iest fan. Anthony.
Women who wear hats are
why?
Stupid.
It's called a radio voice, Anthony.
I don't understand why people like that even take the time to write.
And another
women who
thing,
wear hats are stupid.
I'll think of something.
I...
Take that, Danica Patrick.
Well,
all right.
Then.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. That was spectacular. I'm guessing he's peeking back in again.
Yeah, you know.
Hi, Anthony.
You Baptists. You know.
Yeah,
you
Baptists
like.
That wear hats. What?
Hat-wearing Baptists.
When has Baptist ever become a insult?
Pejorative?
Yeah.
What did I say that seems Baptist?
I don't
really. Okay. That was really more of a confusing letter than anything. All right. I may have to see if I can find a number for Anthony. We may need to call him and suss him out a little bit on
all right,
his
we have
anti-Baptist
questions.
And anti-hat views.
We have questions.
I do.
Yeah.
All right. And guess who has answers?
We're going to call from Baptist.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com.
So inviting to me.
You're bewildered. Good
well,
morning,
yeah.
Carl Frisch.
Good morning, my favorite Baptist.
Thanks.
What? Yeah, I don't...
So, Carl Frisch, you were spectacular in Boston. Carl Frisch opened up the show for us for Sexy Liberal.
Thank you very much.
Look at him.
First time I've even tried to tell jokes in front of a room full of strangers in a long, long time.
These are the jokes, folks.
Yeah, they are.
Well, you know, it was all fun and games until after the show.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
What happened?
I don't remember, and I deny it.
That's when we were all over at a hotel, and Stephanie and Aisha and John broke out the tequila, limes, and flat.
Sure, and the slat.
Slat.
Slat, you know. You can't break out the tequila and slat around Alan Grayson. That does not end well.
Oh, dear. Wow.
Oh, Carl Frisch.
It was crazy. It was madness.
You're scampy.
And Aisha likes the high-end tequila.
Yeah, hello. Mm.
I wonder what that bar
there
tab was like.
Our whole profit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Table slap just won't do it.
No.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Okay. Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear, on the president talking about the economy.
The idea that it was all baked in the cake and structural is complete nonsense.
It
he speaks about the two wars.
The deficit,
one
yeah.
war is over, and the other war, the good war, the one he likes, he doubled our expenditures. It's going to be over in a couple of years anyway. And yet he has deficits he's projecting in the future, increasing by $8 trillion of debt for the next decade. I think on every count his numbers are false, and I think Americans sense that there's a kind of psychological statute of limitations on whining.
Oh, you idiot.
Oh. Wow.
He called the president
really
a whiner.
The president's
a whiner.
The wars on the books. He did not.
Yes, I mean, Carl, here we are again. Like, we're arguing. Apparently, there's two sets of facts, two sets of numbers, and there are not.
Right. You know, the CBO numbers are no good if they support the president's position.
Yeah. Exactly. Here, let's give them the fun facts, Carl, just so we know. He inherited, and you can look it up, $8 trillion deficit. He signed into law $2 trillion in spending cuts into law. I mean, you can look at, like you say, what the president said yesterday, they baked it all into this stuff, all into the cake with those tax cuts and the war, and that is provably true.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Well, I mean, what the right never wants to admit is that a lot of the debt that we talk about and a lot of the deficit that we talk about is the fact that the president decided that the wars should be part of the budget, that you cannot just keep them separate so that we look like we have a rosier picture. So that's a big part of it. And don't forget, George Bush and the Republicans didn't want to do that. They wanted to hide that from us. And if you want to talk about what it means to be economically conservative, don't look at them.
Yeah, well, exactly.
They can't handle the truth.
By the way, here's a not-so-fun fact. Guess who ballooned the debt in Massachusetts when he was governor? That's the other thing. We did this story last week, Carl, but, you know, they keep saying a talking point and repeating it and repeating it. He's a big spender. He's a big spender. Spending in his administration has grown more slowly than under any president in 60 years. And, again, that is just provable. You can
at it. There's that great chart. I've seen it on your Facebook wall. I've seen it, you know, all over the place that shows the previous presidents going back to Eisenhower and the amount of debt that they've put on the U.S. government. And who are the lowest debt increasers? Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, Jimmy Carter.
Yep.
Who are the biggest? George W. Bush, Ronald Reagan.
That's right. That's right. All right, you and your facts again. All right, your facts and your jokes.
Liberal bias, just like shapes, numbers, letters,
yes.
words.
Shapes. Gretchen Carlson talking to Paul Ryan on Fox and Friends.
As an endorser of Mitt Romney, is it frustrating for you, Congressman, to see that in the national polls, Barack Obama and Mitt Romney are basically in a dead heat? If everything you're saying is true, what is not convincing half of the American public who still want to vote for President Obama?
Oh, wait for it. Yeah. What?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And
what I find remarkable about that is that she said, as an endorser with a straight face, it should have been something more like, as an endorser of Mitt Romney?
Really?
Kind of.
You know how forced that endorsement was when he made it?
Yeah, but I mean, did you see what he said back? You know, that, well, I think it's amazing he's even tied. I mean, we're running against this huge machine. Oh, please, after Citizens United and these super PACs behind Romney. Oh, please. Oh, they're crying like victim now.
It's like Terminator 4. It's exactly what you would think the Borg would say.
All right, Monica Crowley on O'Reilly.
Look, in the Valerie Plame thing, the left pounded Cheney and they pounded Scooter Libby and they ended up prosecuting Libby over nothing. Plame was not even covert operative.
Why over nothing?
It was over nothing. Nobody did anything. There were no national
security
secrets.
But they made a movie about it.
That was a complete
They ended this woman's career.
Oh, in that case,
they gave up an agent.
In this case, this is so much more serious because we're talking about leaks that involve an ongoing intelligence operation with our number one threat, which is Iran.
Okay. Oh, I see. So outing a covert CIA agent during wartime who was working on Iran's nuclear...
Yeah.
That's not...
No, she wasn't.
No, you know what? She wasn't covert because Monica Crowley said so.
Yeah.
Oh, well then.
Don't take the CIA's word for it.
Oh,
don't take their word for it about how it changed things. Remember, the cover that Valerie Plame had, and this is very important for people to remember, was not... you know, it was not a cover exclusive to her. There were other CIA agents using the same fake occupation and the same fake stories.
Right.
So it didn't just expose Valerie Plame.
It's the whole operation.
We will never know, because of the secrets our government keeps, exactly how damaging leaking her information
but
was.
Monica Crowley says it was no big deal, so shut up.
Yeah, I love they had such a keen understanding, didn't they, of the intelligence community. They were like, I mean, she said she worked for Brewster Jennings. That was the cover story, you moron.
Right.
It's like, that's not proving
an
anything.
And actual smart worked for, you know,
and it wasn't her, and she wasn't the only one with that cover story. I mean,
right.
This is, as long as they do it for political purposes, they don't care. And remember, we're talking about drones here and about, you know, technologically being able to get in there and disarm whatever they're working on in Iran. These are the same people that are accusing Barack Obama, the president, of doing flyovers of farmers with drones that are armed just like the ones we have in the Middle East. These people are crazy.
Thank you. Nicely said. All right. Brian Kilmeade, Steve Doocy.
Hi. Attorney General Eric Holder facing another round of questioning from members of Congress, and yet more calls for him to resign his position. So is it time
from
for him
whom?
To step aside?
In watching that particular video of Cornyn ask Holder whether or not it's time for him to quit, that was a high point. That took a lot of courage.
Oh.
Courage?
Wow. Yeah.
Courage.
We are seeing a mounting number of people calling on Holder to resign. Why, just yesterday, an extremely conservative senator, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, they all asked him to resign. It's mounting.
Somebody called the Kennedy Senate. They're going to have to write a new chapter in Profiles in Courage.
Yeah.
Yes, and add him to that. All right. Carl Frisch remains in the sidecar. We continue Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sweet Lady Gaga, that is good.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I'm kicking it.
Hi. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. Oh, dear. Chris and Yankton with yet another hate letter.
Oh.
Dear sir and or madam. I wish to complain in the strongest possible terms about the Baptist hat-wearing man-woman on your show. It's a well-known fact that women who wear hats are stupid. Whenever I sit down on the remote and your show I hate randomly appears on the television, I certainly don't want to be forced to watch the behatted woman. Harumph. Yours, Ali Anthony. Okay. I think that was a comedic imagining of Anthony writing back again. Scampy listeners. Hello, Carl Frisch. Welcome back.
Thank you. You know, I didn't want to say anything, but it's often said that, you know, women who wear hats are always trying to recruit people to their lifestyle.
Sure.
And I didn't want to tell anybody this, but at Sexy Liberal, everybody had a free hat on their chair. So it's all part of your agenda.
Stupid hat wearing. Baptist chicks.
Join me and try to recruit you into my...
Yeah, because Boston is fraught with Baptists.
Yes.
I don't care what you put on top of your head in your own bedroom, Stephanie.
Yes. Stop forcing everyone else. I understand.
Okay.
I understand.
Or forcing everyone else to be beheaded.
And there was a toaster under the seat. Okay. Dennis Miller on O'Reilly.
Yeah,
Obama's is a Kardashian presidency, and I think you should just think of Eric Holder as Fredo Kardashian. And if Valerie Jarrett asks him to go fishing on Lake Tahoe sometime in the near future, he should RSVP in the negative. Because at this point, Eric Holder is like a lanky pinata. I think he sleeps over in that Senate subcommittee room and keeps a wary eye on Issa, who also sleeps there spooning his Teddy Roosevelt bear. The chum is in the water, my friend. They're coming for you. And you couldn't be the next one out the door any more readily if they put a handle on your forehead.
What?
What a stupid hat wearing Baptist.
It's funny because he keeps raising his voice, Judging. You know, that's when the comedy's coming down
you
the train.
You can tell because I'm on the verge of laughing at my own joke.
Guys.
Do you think that 15 years ago, Dennis Miller looked at his life and said, this is really great. You know, what would be better is in 15 years if I'm making jokes on the O'Reilly Factor.
Jokes?
It's almost like you can hear the train coming down the track. Here comes the train down the comedy track.
Stale movie reference.
Oh, my God.
He's just jealous of reality show fame, you know?
And that's the new one.
That he was able to have so much fame and prosperity throughout a big chunk of his life and be absolutely nothing today.
He wishes he were a Kardashian.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the new talking point. Yeah. That's what Rush Limbaugh, the President Barack Hussein Kardashian, my friends. That's the joke, the right-wing joke, Carl. He's a celebrity president.
If we had to do the same thing, we'd just say that they're all competing on Biggest Loser.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. And Representative Louis Gohmert?
Yes.
Republican of Texas.
Surprise.
No. Not that guy. On American Family Radio.
Yes, indeed.
You got Bryson out in California. It's really unusual to have a seizure cause you to have one wreck and then cause you to put your car in gear and keep going until you have another wreck. That kind of seizure is really unusual, you know.
He's the secretary. What's his role?
Commerce. Yeah, that's who's in charge of keeping businesses going. A guy that crashes his car from car to car.
Huh.
Wow. So Republicans are really devolving here. It used to be that their doctor members of Congress would diagnose people from television. Now their idiot members who are not doctors are diagnosing people from radio.
Yes.
And what talk show host worth their salt has to ask who Bryson is?
Yeah.
Well, he's secretarial. Yeah. What?
They're too busy thinking about gay people to focus on who's in the government.
I guess so.
Yeah, wow, and diagnosing people from afar.
Wow.
Okay. Wowee. All right, Carl, first, thank you. That was delightful, as usual.
Anytime.
All right, talk to you next week. There he goes.
Damn hat-wearing Baptist.
Oh, we have a bonus clip from the most awkward man in the world, Jim.
Hmm.
Okay, here, because, you know, he's been accusing the president of being out of touch.
I met a guy yesterday, 7 feet tall. I figured he had to be in sport, but he wasn't in sport.
In sport.
He's not in sport.
He's not the right height. That's too tall.
Good heavens, he's not in sport.
He's
what
tall.
Else would a tall fella like you do except sport?
What a freak. Oh, my goodness.
I believe it's called...
Wow.
Ball sport. Basket. Sport.
Wow.
Or is
okay.
it lacrosse
All right,
I'm thinking
thank
of?
You. Most awkward man in the world.
That's
for that.
Awful.
Okay.
Could he have been more specific? Say basketball, where height is... But that's just sport.
Why the fellow's not
sport.
In sport? That's just...
He ridiculous. Doesn't know what a donut is.
It's just astonishing.
He can't tell one sport from another.
29 minutes
He thinks all donuts come from 7-Eleven.
It's Representative John Yarmuth next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Thank you for loving me, America.
You're welcome.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We've just been watching Mitt Romney trying to identify a donut.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which was very difficult.
Oh, be sure to get one of those chocolatey things.
Goodies.
Goodies.
And Evans, what is it?
Meanwhile, there's a plate of the most donut-y donuts I've ever seen sitting in front of him, and he doesn't know what they are.
I have no idea what that is.
He's just never been anywhere.
No.
And President Obama's out of touch, as you know.
Is this what the little people eat?
From the 7-Eleven.
That's precious. What is that? The little thing in the hole in the middle. Oh, my goodness. And then there's the rich horsey laugh.
Yeah.
Immediately after. Oh, my goodness. Hey, speaking of chuckly, but way smarter and more in touch, it's Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning. Now, there's a real guy laugh.
That's right.
Good morning, Congressman.
I was kidding with my son last night. I said, you know, not being able to identify a donut is just not like not being able to identify a dog. I mean, this is not.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I'm going to put those chocolate things
somebody
on
was
the roof
trying
of my
to
car.
Cut him some slack. Somebody was trying, right. Somebody was trying to cut him some slack or, you know, that, and I said, no, that's crazy.
He would be very frustrating to play paper, rock, scissors with. Yeah. It would just take forever. So, Congressman, obviously out talking about jobs and the economy, and, he gave a pre-buttal, because, of course, every time the president, who we know is a great speaker, he said that those are all going to be just eloquent but cheap words. Words are cheap. Well, you know, the record is, I think you can't be said enough. The president, as they said, the president's office, the president took our nation from losing 750,000 jobs a month to adding 4.3 million private sector jobs over the last 27 months. If you want to talk about a record, there's no way to spin that. He created more jobs this year than George Bush did in 8 years. Isn't that like the end of story?
Well, I think so. And you look at so many other measures as well. I mean, stock market performance, balance of the trade deficit, so many different measures. The economy is unarguably stronger than it was when Barack Obama was inaugurated. Now, we still have a lot of problems. We still have a lot of people out of work. And I think the one thing that I know you're concerned about, and I certainly am, is this incredibly dangerous growing disparity between the top 1% and everybody else.
Right.
I mean, these figures, when median incomes declined from 47,000 to 42,000 over the last 5 years, that is an incredibly damaging statistic. Now, Barack Obama wasn't responsible for that. I mean, that's a function of people out of work. It's a function of people having to take lower paying jobs. And it's a function of the decimation of unions over the last 15, 20 years. But, still, there's no question that the record in terms of overall performance of the economy over the last 4 years, we're in much better shape than we were when George Bush was president.
So Mitt Romney says things like this on the campaign trail.
It is the most anti-investment, anti-business, anti-jobs series of policies in modern American history.
Huh. Interesting, because there's a recent American history like George Bush who created, once again, less jobs in 8 years than
right.
President Obama has created this year. So, this is going to be the rhetoric we hear all the way to November, right?
Right, and if he'll allow it, at least we have to keep raising the point. He has no idea of what to do to change it or to make it any better, except to do the same things that George Bush did.
Yeah.
Right.
Which exactly created the record I just mentioned. He says these things. Mitt Romney's been out there saying President Obama's health care law is harming small businesses. I don't know if you saw the director of the CBO, the nonpartisan CBO, said that's nonsense. We don't think the health care law is having a significant impact on the economy today. Are you concerned? I mean, obviously the Republicans are already concerned about what's going to happen at the Supreme Court, realizing that a lot of the provisions in Affordable Care are popular, A, and B, they're working. So,
well, exactly right. And I represent the corporate office of Humana, one of the biggest private insurers in the country, and they've done the same thing that UnitedHealthcare and Aetna did, which is saying many of these protections in the Affordable Care Act, they're going to keep in anyway. I'm not sure what the political calculation is there. I'm still trying to work on that.
Well, that makes me suspicious, I have to say.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Are they trying to, I mean, it's been said, Congressman, that they're perhaps trying to signal to the, you know, Supreme Court, like, oh, we're going to behave on our own, so we don't need any regulations, or, you know, they're trying to give the Republicans in Congress cover. What is your take on that? I don't trust it.
Yeah, I don't trust it either. I suspect that the last thing you mentioned is the strategy there. That if it goes down, you would have an awful lot of people, like the 6.6 million young people under 26 who are now being covered under their parents' policies. If you didn't do that, then those people are going to rise up and protest if the Supreme Court overturned the law. So I suspect they're trying to insulate the opponents of the act. Although, you know, Humana has become a strong supporter of the Affordable Care Act, so they don't want it thrown out. 80% of their business is administering government programs. 60% of their entire business, which is $3.7 billion, is from Medicare Advantage.
Right.
So they want the law to be upheld. They calculated it would be a $12 billion loss for them.
Well, I mean, you know.
So I'm not sure what, but I think they are trying to insulate something somewhere if the court throws the law out.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm looking at all of these stories. You know, seniors, is going to be my mom, could lose prescription drug discounts if the Supreme Court strikes down affordable care. You know, obviously, the donut closing the donut hole is one of the, I think, great and popular things in the bill. But,
yep.
You know, I mean, this is one of the things that we were able to get. This what was it, $80 billion from, you know, the drug companies. That's going to go away if it gets struck down.
That's going to go away. The one thing that all women ought to be concerned about is the gender rating. If the law is thrown out, then insurance companies will then be able to charge women more, which they have historically done, up to 80% more than an identically aged man. And so there are a lot of things which would change dramatically. I keep saying, you know, almost every weekend I go to a walk or a run for juvenile diabetes or multiple sclerosis or some other disease category, and there are 1,000 or 2,000 people there, and every one of those has now gotten a new lease on life for their families, every one of those people, because the people with those diseases can never be denied coverage again.
Yeah.
All that protection goes away if the Affordable Care Act is thrown out. So that's why I say if the act is thrown out, I think within 3 years you're going to see a massive campaign for single-payer health care, and it will be led by the business community because they won't be able to afford to pay for their employees anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. I saw that Speaker Boehner recently told Republicans in a private meeting to change their tone on health care and stop using job killing.
Right.
Did you see that? And for, why? The only reason? Because it's polling poorly, because people buy it because it's not happening. And so, you know, now they're going to say, emphasize the law drives up costs and makes things worse for small business. Which also isn't true, but, you know, they're scrambling, I think, ahead of this ruling, aren't they?
Right. Well, I think they are. And I don't know if you noticed, but there was a poll that came out the other day on the Affordable Care Act, the first poll that had actually had it with a positive favorable rating. Now, I think it's a little bit of an outlier, but it was a Reuters Ipsos poll. It showed 45-44.
Right.
And every other poll that's been out has been double figures, you know, 10, 12 points. Negative.
Yep.
And I think that's because people have now become more aware of what's in the law. What's in jeopardy with the Supreme Court.
Well, Congressman Yarmuth, that's what we saw in polling early on, is the Republicans demagogued this and did such a good job of it to such a degree. You're right, overall, it had an unfavorable wording. And then when you poll all the provisions, they were all wildly popular. I think you're right. As people are understanding what it actually is, you're absolutely right. And that's the crime of this whole thing. It's such a shame.
Exactly. I've had many conversations. I've got two sessions today with small business people here in Louisville, and I have not had people from the small business community say that they've been concerned about the effect of the Affordable Care Act on small business, mostly because it hasn't affected them, yet mostly because 97% of them aren't even covered by it.
Yep, exactly.
So it's kind of like when people say that job killer, well, if you have fewer than 50 employees, you're not even covered, and that's 97% of small businesses.
Yep, and we end on a patented Yarmuth chuckle.
Yeah.
Representative Yarmuth, thanks as always for your time. Talk again real soon.
All right, Stephanie.
All right,
care.
There he goes. All right. 43 minutes after the hour. Oh, my God. We're back-to-back Congress people.
I know.
Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky of the great state of Illinois next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
I think your show is absolutely vulgar. I think it's sad. We're
all
trying
right.
to raise kids to be
and
respectful.
I'm...
There's no
see.
Way you're adding to it.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. I can't make it down. I can't make it down. So get down your feet and jump around. Jump around. Jump around. Jump around.
Jump up and get down. Oh, the glamour of radio. What were we doing during commercial break? Well, Captain America's underpants, our set was falling down, and so you were having to
fix it.
Fix the wallpaper.
Yeah.
Talking liberally, wallpaper is peeling already.
And Captain America's waistband.
The show's not even that old and
no.
already.
Captain America's underpants are falling down.
Yes.
Yeah.
At least there are
exactly.
no skid marks.
Hey.
Captain America's underpants.
You kids, pull your pants. Pull your pants off, you sagging underwear.
The pants around the knees.
Thank you, Dr. Cosby. Well said. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. One of our very personal favorites, the rocking congresswoman from the great state of Illinois, joins us now, Representative Jan Schakowsky. Hello, Congresswoman.
Good morning, Stephanie.
How are you?
I'm good.
Well, you're doing better than Mitt Romney, who can't identify a donut in his quest to prove that President Obama is out of touch with ordinary people.
I know.
Yeah.
So, obviously, they're
These
both...
are pancakes. I don't know what those are.
Yes. Oh, boy.
How could we send them anywhere, you know? I mean, isn't that just sort of like a criteria for being president?
Yes, he seems startled by air.
Yeah.
However, they're obviously both talking about jobs and the economy.
Yeah.
I was just talking to your colleague, Congressman Yarmuth, and it just seems that, you know, the president is backed up by actual facts and figures. I think, I think it was Governor Malloy that I saw on TV, but I mean, I think that says it more clearly than anything else you could say. The president has created more jobs this year than George Bush did in 8 years. Right?
Absolutely right. I mean, the facts, it's amazing that today you can live in a parallel universe of a set of facts totally different from reality and just make them true by repeating them over and over and over again. The fact is that millions of jobs have been created by Barack Obama, zero jobs in the private sector by George Bush, and yet they persist. It's just, ugh.
You speak for me as well. You know, the president said yesterday, when I hear Governor Romney say his 25 years in the private sector give him a special understanding of how the economy works, my question is, why are you running with the same bad ideas that brought our economy to the brink?
Why he believes it'll
lead to a different result? He said there's no evidence of that.
I mean, here's Romney's bright idea. Lower taxes, fewer regulations, repeal of the Dodd-Frank bill to keep Wall Street under control, and repeal the Obamacare, affordable health care. That's his plan for creating jobs.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
Where are they? I'm looking. I don't see them.
That should be our only bumper sticker, Romney.
Really?
Really?
Okay.
Exactly.
Speaking of financial reform, I'm sorry. Did you see the senator, primarily the Tea Party senators, just fawning over Jamie Dimon? I mean, literally, Jim DeMint was like, how can we help you? How can we, maybe less regulation? I mean, it's incredible.
Well, DeMint and his crowd were the ones that wanted to deregulate, certainly didn't want to regulate derivatives, wanted to oppose all of the regulations on Wall Street. Ordinary Americans, you talk about the abuses of Wall Street and everybody nods their head, except for these fools that want to go back to the time when, we can be just, back in the tank and in the ditch. I don't get it.
His company, J.P. Morgan, obviously just lost $2 billion in the derivative market, right, on, gambling money again. And DeMint asked them how to help guide Congress in creating friendly banking regulations. I mean, it's like a parallel universe.
It absolutely is, and I hope people are watching that kind of thing. I mean, Mitt Romney has said that we don't need more firefighters or teachers or policemen. I don't know what town he actually resides in, but every municipality in my district is really struggling to make sure that those basic services are covered. Obviously, Mitt Romney didn't think we needed auto workers. It was okay for people to go into foreclosure. We should let it hit bottom.
Yep.
And and tells a woman she must have bought her cookies at what was it, 7-Eleven?
7-Eleven, yeah, because he's so in touch. And interesting, you bring up the auto rescue. I mean, here he is. He's going to be in Ohio today. And this is quite a dance they're trying to do, isn't it? John Kasich's trying to take total credit for, unemployment rate being lower in Ohio when any analyst will tell you it's largely because of the auto rescue, which Mitt Romney was against.
Right.
It's not because of John Kasich.
I wish I were more like Barack Obama when he heard that Mitt Romney's taking credit. He just kind of did this low chuckle. Instead, I go,
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, right, but this is the, you know, the kind of dance they're trying to do, right, with some of these Republican governors that, you know, Mitt Romney's there saying the economy's horrible, and there's the Republican governor sitting next to him going, it's great because of me, you know.
I know. The problem that they have is that we've got all of this, you know, in the era of video, we've got all this. We've got
right.
Mitt Romney saying that the, you know, we don't want to bail out the auto industry, let it go, and all those things. Things are going to be there forever, at least until November 6th, for people to see and judge for themselves. I don't think ordinary Americans are going to see a Mitt Romney as just like them, whereas Barack Obama actually has more of a normal life.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, and as he frequently points out, I mean, it wasn't that long ago they paid off their college loans. I mean, you're absolutely right. Mitt Romney has not had any semblance of a Jim, what was
ask your parents for a loan.
Jim was talking about, there was a story where Ann Romney was quoted as saying something about,
oh,
we've
good
been
heavens.
Yeah,
we've been through hard times in college. Mitt had to sell some of his stock.
Oh, dear heavens. Dear God.
Wow.
Dear God, Congresswoman. Who can't understand the realities of having to choose between another dressage horse and another car elevator?
I mean, stock.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, well, and you and I have talked a lot about health care, obviously. Are you nervous about the Supreme Court ruling going to be at the end of June, correct?
It's going to be coming up any day now, I think. You know, if they go by the law, then the Supreme Court will do the right thing and say that this is perfectly constitutional. If they go with their ideology, which unfortunately they've been doing in the past, some people think that it'll just be that they get rid of the mandate. I am not one of those who gets all worried about the mandate disappearing, because being old enough to know about Medicare is not, you don't have to sign up for Medicare, but what we do is we make it so that the premiums go up the longer you wait to sign up for Medicare. So there's a huge incentive for you to become insured under Medicare, and everybody does. So I think there are a number of ways to make sure that people are incented to become insured, and I think that we can survive the mandate disappearing.
I wonder if it's too late to file as a brief Mitt Romney's op-ed about how really, really good the mandate is when he was getting it passed
yeah.
in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Because that was,
you know,
quite compelling.
The other thing about mandate is, do you know that you and I, I'm assuming you have insurance, Stephanie,
yes.
I
yes.
certainly hope.
Yes,
so.
Indeed.
Yeah. That we pay about $1,000 a year more for people who are uninsured. Now, most people who are uninsured don't want to be, because they can't afford it. That's why Obamacare would help them. But there are young people that Scalia thinks should not be forced to eat broccoli or to buy health insurance. And those people we pay for when they get hurt. If their motorcycle is knocked over, we don't leave them on the side of the road like roadkill.
That's right.
We pick them up and we pay for their health care, sometimes for life. And so we are mandated to pay for people who don't get insurance.
That's a very good point. Do you, quickly before you go, Congresswoman, are you as suspicious as I am of these insurance companies coming out now saying, oh, no, we'll, you know, no, there's no need to police us. We'll do the right thing.
We'll behave this time.
Yeah, we can absolutely believe these insurance companies who have been charging more, insuring fewer people, figuring out how to work the system so that only healthy people really can get insurance. These are the people that we can rely on. You know, they've had generations to do it, and they haven't.
Yep, absolutely. Representative Jan Schakowsky, always a pleasure. Love you.
Thanks,
mean it.
Jeff.
All right, talk to you
okay.
soon. All
bye.
Right, there's... I remember her dancing down the street in Chicago in her sneakers and doing backflips practically during the Gay Pride Parade last year. Love her! Right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
6 minutes. We have a lot of toddlers watching us.
Yes.
All right, 6 minutes after the hour. Oh, and look how David got his swag. Who's handsome and romantic? He got his I'm Too Sexy to Vote Republican hat. We put it up on the Stephanie Miller Show on Facebook.
That's right.
Oh, it's like magic. Get your swag, won't you? It's at sexyliberal.com, where you can get all sorts of wonderful things.
Yes, indeed.
Tickets to the upcoming Sexy Liberals, L.A., which is, they're all nearing sellout, I must tell you. Columbus in August, Seattle in September. And you can get your Sexy Liberal swag, like he did. Handsome man. All right, Audra, oh, that's the basement promo gal.
Oh, yeah.
She says, Steph and Chris, where can I get one of those talking liberally with Stephanie Miller current TV hats? Well, you can't.
Nope.
I love to sport those around Minneapolis and support the show Woot. Well, Audra, I'm afraid you're going to have to get a Sexy Liberal hat instead. They're not in the merch business, for God's sake.
No, they're not.
Although we have a lot of tchotchkes. We're like almost entirely made up of tchotchkes here in the studio.
Well, this
every time I come in, there's something new that appears.
This is set dressing.
Oh.
That's what that's called.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me.
No.
So it's not a practical cup.
It's not a practical cup at all. You're supposed to drink out of it because it has the logo on it.
Although you did treat me as a truck stop waitress earlier this morning.
Well,
you said, move your spectacular ass. I need a spoon.
Yes.
This is how I'm spoken to around here. I said, I'll get it for you. And I leaned over and I got the spoon out of the
thank you
thing.
Okay. Hey, Jiggles, go get me a spoon. Back that gorgeous butt up out here.
All right. Let's see. Oh, this is sort of a hate letter.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I not as good as last hour.
No.
I'll read that one again. I'm apparently a
hat-wearing
Baptist hypocrite. Man, woman. The manly voice.
Yeah.
I'm stupid. Okay. Kay writes, I find it interesting that a girl who comes from a privileged political family, leads the privileged life, has all the benefits she could want, is calling Romney a rich, privileged douchebag. Oh, well, let me explain the difference, Kay. I try to help other people, and first of all, my family hasn't paid for anything since I graduated from college. Thank you. All right. I'd never even heard of a dressage pony until this election cycle, for God's sake.
And you did not go to a school even remotely resembling Cranbrook.
No. Don't even know what I thought. Ocean Spray made Cranbrook.
And you're not trying to destroy other people's livelihoods.
Yes.
Send their jobs overseas.
Exactly.
So you can make a profit.
Exactly. I know this doesn't seem like much of a job, but it is. I write the fart jokes.
Unless you find a way to automate the show, then you can get rid of me.
Exactly. That
would
be awesome.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Insert comedy here.
Good luck automating Jim.
All right. Kevin in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
Hey there. It's becoming overwhelmingly clear that the Republicans are just kind of abandoning policy and just relying on perception. I mean, over the last 4 years, it's been as little things as community organizer being a bad word, to winning the Nobel Prize being a bad thing, to 27 months of job growth being economic failure.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about, with the Congresswoman, you're talking about how Romney is trying to make the perception that the Obamacare is going to hurt small businesses. That's another perception argument. The Obamacare actually gives tax breaks to small businesses.
That's right. That's right. So, well, you know why? Because the Boehner told them to drop the job killing. Remember how he never said Obamacare without saying job killing Obamacare? Well, now they've just completely trash canned that because it was polling poorly, because everyone knows it's not doing any such thing. All right, so this happened. Burger King has a bacon sundae.
I don't know how to feel about that.
I don't. Yeah, I'm not for the nanny state, but I think Mayor Bloomberg needs to ban this immediately. I don't.
Well, I've heard that chocolate dipped bacon is actually good because of the salty and sweet thing going on.
Yeah, savory and sweet, sure.
Yeah.
That's what you meant, sweet and savory.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Or salty and sweet.
Burger King describes it as the sweet and savory dessert features the rich and creamy vanilla BK soft serve drizzled with chocolate fudge caramel topped with bacon crumbles, complete with thick-cut hardwood smoked bacon garnish.
Okay, think I'm going to buy it.
Okay. I don't know how to feel about that either. It just seems like it will end up on thisiswhyyourefat.com.
Sure. Love that site.
So the right wing has officially gone ape dump over the New York City health panel now.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Jim, you probably didn't know this. Mayor Bloomberg, a Republican.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I guess that can't be pointed out to me because the right wing's going insane.
He's independent now. He changed parties.
Whatever. Liberals, little nanny state. I thought Rush Limbaugh was going to explode yesterday.
Yeah, they've never considered him a Republican. Seriously.
Okay. Well, whatever. This isn't like a, you know, some liberal plot.
Yeah.
He ran and won as a Republican.
Yeah, I don't agree with the ban at all.
I'm a little, yes. But here was the thing I found out, the fun fact yesterday about Rush. I don't know. He was talking about how great coconut oil is. I think he drinks it by the gallon jug or something. Because he was talking about the popcorn thing.
Right.
And he said, I have four popcorn poppers in my my house. They run on coconut oil. And I'm like, what? How do you need four? You're too lazy to even go from, you know, like you, what a need for
popcorn
strikes you
really
when you need to
great
have.
When it's dipped in bacon. I'm sure it would. Ooh.
Yeah.
That actually sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Coconut oil is really, really bad for you, but it does make the best popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still not certain why you need four movie popcorn machines.
I have no idea.
Coconut milk is supposed to be very good for you. So how is the
oddly.
Oil?
Yeah, the board, this is the story that's making the right wing lose it. The board handpicked by Mayor Bloomberg, they started with the drinks. And they all yesterday were like, see, I told you they were just getting started. Because they're doing the big sugary drinks, which I know, I don't get the logic of it either, Chris, because you can just go back for refills.
Or you can get two 16-ounce. You know,
I agree people need
to
stop being pigs.
Sure.
Saying I don't know that you can regulate it.
No. People need to be stopping pigs on their own.
Right.
They don't need the government
to. So now one of them talked about limiting the sizes of movie popcorn. But the other thing is, like, a lot of times you share with, one or two people or whatever. It's not. It's just kind of.
That kind of thing drives me crazy.
Milk drinks, not my Frappuccino. Well, yes, now they're also talking about milk drinks, and that would be, I think. Gawker had this first in New York City. Your Starbucks Frappuccinos are in danger. See, now now we've reached bipartisan overkill.
War.
Yeah, now it's war. We have to do something about the obesity epidemic, but I don't know.
Yeah, the government saying that you can't have, these particular sizes of drinks is not the way to do it.
You're going to.
Yeah.
Because
I am a bacon cappuccino from my cold dead head.
Bacon cappuccino. Oh, God.
Bloomberg's plan wouldn't cover large beverages that contain more than 51% milk, but as it turns out, a barista said there's very, very little milk in the Frappuccinos. So
a lot of sugar.
Yes.
A lot of sugar in the Frappuccinos.
Mm. Either way, it might have to go under the. Mm. All right.
Frappuccinos are really high in calories.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Bob in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, how you doing, Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
Look, I just wanted to make a comment on that Jamie Dimon laugh ban yesterday.
Oh, please. It should have come with a laugh track.
You know, it reminded me of the Grand Jubilee celebration they had for the Queen a couple of weeks ago.
Yes. It was like a scene from Jerry Maguire. How can we help us help you, please?
Yeah,
how can we help
Republicans
you?
Republicans were saying, okay, here's our version. You know, I was expecting these guys to go rushing over on their knees to kiss his ring.
Yeah.
And it then one by one, rush around the back to kiss the plumber's crack.
Yeah, I could hear Elizabeth Warren throwing up from here watching that. That was, wow. Yeah, did you see this? J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon, his firm, of course, recently lost billions making risky bets with depositor funds.
Yep.
Huh, where have I heard that
other
before?
Other people's money.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It's funny, he just described it that way. The senators themselves turned the cross-examination into a coronation, according to Talking Points memo. I love this. Oh, Bob Corker? Wait, do we have Bob Corker? Here he is. Here we go, asking him for help.
But I'm talking about the regulatory regime that Congress put in place. Has it made our system safer?
I don't know.
I don't know. Don't care.
And he started with this tough one.
I got a jillion dollars. I don't care.
You're obviously renowned, rightfully so, I think, as being, one of the best CEOs in the country for financial institutions. You missed this. It's a blip on the radar screen. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Kiss ass much?
Wow. Jim DeMint.
I can understand him with his tongue far so up. And furthermore.
And Jim DeMint said, I really appreciate you voluntarily coming in to talk to us. I appreciate your emphasis on continuous quality improvement.
Please don't kill me.
We can hardly sit in judgment of your losing $2 billion. We lose twice that every day in Washington. The government is not the same thing. You don't lose it.
Why didn't they just bring in a golden calf to worship?
Yeah.
God.
God.
Oh.
We think we're entitled.
This is Jamie Dimon and Senator Robert Menendez.
We think we're entitled to the ones to tell you the things we don't make sense.
Well, I think you're entitled to tell us the things that don't make sense. I also think that the American people, after making major investments in your bank and other institutions, are entitled to ensure that they don't have to reach into their pocket again.
Why are the banks insisting that they write the regulations? That makes absolutely
no sense
to me.
Jim DeMint asked, please, can you help guide Congress in creating friendly... How can you help us, guide us in making banking regulations?
Wow.
This should not be a friendly relationship. It should be an adversarial relationship.
Yeah, DeMint said, as you can tell, there's a temptation here. Every time something goes amiss, we want to add a regulation. We've surrounded the banking industry with so many regulations.
We don't do that
and
anymore.
And we still seem to have problems here and there. I think we do need to recognize that you're a very big bank, the biggest in the world. Oh, you have the biggest ever, Jamie Dimon. Oh, my God, it's so big. Oh, I'm so impressed.
God.
That takes a lot of senators to kiss that biggest ass in the world.
Yes, that's too big to fail. That's exactly what he said. You've got very big profits. Periodically, you're going to have big losses. We need to look at that as part of doing business. He continued asking him for some ideas of what you think we need to do to allow the industry to operate
better.
Bring
back Glass-Steagall. No?
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 Oh,
really?
Okay.
Oh, okay.
By the way, Jamie Dimon replied, I prefer a simple, clean, strong regulatory system with real intelligent design.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Designed by him.
We had that, and then people like Scott Brown watered it down. That's not what we did. He said we created a really complex, hard to figure out who's responsible. No one could adjudicate between all the various regulatory agencies.
What a load of crap.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, there's too much regulation.
If Elizabeth Warren were in charge, believe me, it would be a lot cleaner and stronger. DeMint said, I think the best practice, if we could do anything to encourage the industry to develop a lot of its own voluntary rules, that would guide us a lot better.
No. No.
Wow. Check this out. So here's DeMint's closing. So I guess if I could just leave you with one thing. If you could come back this time next year and talk about how the industry has put together large-scale best practices committees, that would help us keep banking as a private enterprise rather than a government institution.
Oh, my God.
It's hardly a government institution. I mean, it just...
I think it was DeMint that said, would you feel more comfortable if we went into a closed session? Then you could talk openly.
Wow.
So that we could
ask you. It shouldn't be a closed session.
So that we
could
better spoon you and get our tongue a little further up your...
And God, this drives me crazy.
So we could better crap on the American people.
Right.
From a great height.
Wow. That was just vomitous. All right. So that happened.
Yeah. And we all let it happen.
And we all let it. 20 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Highbrow, lowbrow, unibrow. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yo.
Stephanie Miller.
I just realized that old white women should not do this.
No.
Wrap hands. Okay. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Ah, boy. Cordell in Kentucky, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Cordell.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, Milton.
Good morning.
It's the official gay bar screenwriter and Christian Baptist of the Stephanie Miller Show. Thank you very much, Adam.
Do you wear a hat, Cordell?
I wear a hat, and I wear anything else I please.
All right. Well, hello now.
Hat-wearing Baptist.
All right. Go ahead.
And before I get on to my statement, might I suggest, Stephanie, that you have a hate letter segment? You seem to get several dozen of them in a week.
It's awesome. Since the TV show and a lot of people keep finding me by accident, they're just the most awesome hate letters ever.
Yeah. Now, I'm calling in, and I'm going to get very personal here for a moment. I'm angry at Congressman Louie Gohmert, or Goober, as I like to call him.
Yes.
He made a comment about Secretary Bryson saying that he didn't believe that he had seizures. I want to say he offended me when he said that, and I'll say why. A couple of mo- uh, a weeks ago, I was diagnosed with a medical condition I had never heard of called positional vertigo. And that gives me, you know, real bad dizzy spells. I can't really concentrate or focus on anything when I have them. In fact, I had a slight fall yesterday. Aww. when I was having those type of spells.
Well, Cordell, more importantly, it was almost like you could almost feel their glee when they hoped it was a drunk driving accident. I mean, it's so weird.
Yeah, and I've never had a seizure before, but if it's anything like what I go through when I have a dizzy spell, you're not in control over what happens. And
yeah.
My point is, this is to you conservatives out there, thinking of you, Billy from Texas, because I know you're listening. You know, you can't just automatically judge that, you know, well, he's in full control. He knows what he's doing. I got news for you, buddy. You're not in control.
I think more important is just how partisan this environment has gotten. That if this were a Republican, I'm sure there wouldn't have been any story in the right wing at all about it.
Right.
But they
would have ordered us to send out prayers for him or something.
Yeah. You don't believe it was a seizure? Well, okay. It's just ridiculous. All right. The president on the campaign trail yesterday.
We have taken a surplus left behind by President Clinton and turned it into deficits as far as the eye could see. Bill Clinton described it well the other day. He said they want to do the same thing, just on steroids. Remember, when the last Democratic president was in office, we had a surplus. The two presidents with the least growth in government spending in the modern era happened to be two Democrats named Barack Obama and Bill Clinton.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Rock and roll.
And, Republicans hate it when you point that out.
I know.
Out. Oh, my
God.
Well,
that's why it's great having Clinton on the campaign trail.
Yeah.
Because it's like, no, I'm the guy.
Yep.
Here I am. And then he talked about, as we said before, he said, I love it when these guys talk about debts and deficits. And he inherited a $1 trillion deficit. Mm-hmm. You can't spin that any other way.
And George Bush inherited a surplus. And the first thing he did was say, that means you got too much, you're paying too much tax. We're going to get rid of that surplus.
Yeah, be president.
This notion that somehow we caused the deficits. It's just wrong. It's just not true. And anybody who looks at the math will tell you it's not true. And if they start trying to give you a bunch of facts and figures suggesting that it's true, what they're not telling you is that they baked all this stuff into the cake with those tax cuts and a prescription drug plan that they didn't pay for and the wars.
And the wars. And the two wars. Not in the books. And as I've said before, they signed $2 trillion in spending cuts into law, spending under his administration grown more slowly than any other president in 60 years. Look it up. Mm-hmm. Don't take my word for it. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Naming a destructive storm after a woman is sexist, you obviously have never seen
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour, awaiting Carlos Alzraqui, comedian extraordinaire, in studio with us all of hour number three. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. So, Jim, the Iowa cafe in which Mitt Romney had a hard time identifying a
donut.
Oh. That, oh my goodness.
What is that chocolatey confection?
Goody there. Thing.
Goody.
There.
Okay, get some of those on.
The owner of the cafe said his staff was arrogant and disrespectful to her establishment. What? People that Mitt Romney have around him are arrogant? I never.
No. You,
Romney
lackey.
Romney
shine my
called,
shoe.
Owner Diane Bauer to offer an apology, and she said that it made her feel as if he were mocking her. What? He sounded insincere? I can't believe that. Mitt Romney?
Oh, I'm sorry for you are offended.
Sorry,
sir.
You and your little chocolate goodie makers or whatever it is you do.
The little people are so sensitive.
Sorry. Oh, well. You must be on one of those sugar highs or something. Whatever. Camille in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Camille.
Hi. I just want to, two things I want to bring up. Do you suppose Romney constantly lies 24/7 because he's trying to keep us from thinking about all his billions that he still has to keep hiding as he gets closer and closer? Because eventually we're going to have to know about it.
Yeah. If he believes in America so much, how come his money's in Switzerland? Just
well,
curious.
Exactly. Well, you know, but we're not talking about it anymore, remember?
Yep.
Every day we're talking about everything he says. Number two, I'm really getting tired of the Republicans playing on our intelligence every time the election comes around. They lie, and it's a bait and switch, play that holier-than-thou. We know they're lying. And
oh.
How do they get to stay on TV every day?
I don't know. Did you just bleep yourself, or was that by
no,
accident?
I have a signal for the Internet.
Yes.
So it's like a zero zone goes by every now and then.
Oh,
I have
I have
the Verizon.
All right. All right.
Only
Verizon makes you sound like you're calling Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Which he is, pretty much. Exactly.
Oh, dear.
All right. The president, by the way, when he talked about the debt and deficits were baked into the cake, mm-hmm. obviously, I loved his analogy. He said it's like somebody goes to a restaurant, orders a big steak dinner, a martini and all that stuff, and then just as you're sitting down, they leave and accuse you of running up a tab. It's true. Okay, the president yesterday.
I want to be clear. We don't expect government to solve all our problems, and it shouldn't try to solve all our problems.
All right, so Romney gave
where does he get off saying it's baked into that chocolatey thing?
The goody,
over there.
The chocolatey goodness.
We have him saying the steak dinner thing.
Oh, do we really?
Yes,
I must have missed that.
Yes.
Here we go.
So all this stuff's baked in mm-hmm. with all the interest mm-hmm. payments for it. Mm-hmm. It's like somebody goes to a restaurant, orders a big steak dinner, martini, all that stuff. And then, just as you're sitting down, they leave. And accuse you of running up the tab.
Yeah. Okay. So Mitt Romney gave a pre-buttal because every time before the president speaks, because they know it's going to be a good speech, they say, oh, words are cheap. He's going to be eloquent, but oh,
whatever.
That doesn't matter now. During his remarks, Romney continued to paint Obama as out of touch. with average Americans and small business owners, a charge that was leveled at Romney by members of his own party, if you'll recall, during the primary, quite a few times.
He's out of touch, and my valet agrees.
And I love this. Romney was also expected to address the CEOs at a Q&A on Wednesday, but members of the press were ushered out of the room immediately following so that he could, you know, because they don't speak our language, the people that know what chocolatey goodies are. Let's just be alone. Okay, Mittens.
And I think you're going to see him change course. He will speak mm-hmm. eloquently.
Uh-huh.
But the words are cheap.
Okay.
And the thoughts behind the words are not.
Yes. All right. And then he went on to say something completely unsubstantiated.
And those things save about $500 billion a year by my fourth year in office,
whoa,
if I'm lucky enough to be elected,
and
get us to a balanced budget within 8 to 10 years.
I see.
How?
So the huge debt you left in Massachusetts, that was just the accident.
That was set dressing.
Yes. As we say here in the television business.
Yes.
You had to pull up Captain America's underpants again, didn't you?
No, they're still down.
That's very sad. Yeah. I don't know if you see that over there.
Yeah, set dressing is...
our underwear is sagging.
Falling off the wall. I fixed it, but then it fell down again.
Sad sack, little ramshackle operation we are around here.
Yeah.
All right, also...
Captain America needs a jock strap.
We need a cup.
I will, in my first 100 days, take action... To eliminate government programs?
Oh!
Great idea.
Perfect.
Good thinking.
Which ones?
All of them.
All
we
of
don't
them?
Need any
and
government programs at all.
Replace Ka-blam. Them with what? Exactly.
Didn't say. All right, Senator Mitchell.
A reign of terror.
No, he's probably going to replace it with all kinds of private sector stuff that will just make money for his rich buddies.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Senator Mitch McLiplis.
We shouldn't expect much new in the speech. Mm-hmm. We can expect more of the same, more government, more debt. And higher taxes to pay for it all.
Mm-hmm. More turtle tunnels, I think, was his point. Okay.
Turtle tunnel.
Tony in Sacramento, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, Steph?
Good.
Hey, listen, I wonder if I'm the only person in America that has a major problem with the mainstream media. It's almost like they've been pimp-slapped by the Republicans and Mitt Romney. I mean, he doesn't release his taxes. Okay, that's cool.
Right.
I mean, he doesn't do interviews with the mainstream media, just on Fox News. That's cool. I mean, they don't call the Republicans out for their obstructionism and the disservice they're doing to the American people. Hey, that's cool, too.
Yep.
I mean, but, you know, I mean, it's sickening. It's my God, this is,
yep,
it's a joke.
Yep.
I
well, mean, that's why we're here to serve you at Current
I mean,
TV.
But, you know, the message needs to get out there,
yeah,
really, because the mainstream media, all the talking heads, it's like,
yeah,
you know, get your fingers out your asses, guy.
Oh,
I,
my
I
goodness.
I don't know if I can say that.
All right.
Not
well,
really.
You just, well, not
yeah,
really, but you just did. But thanks for that. he makes a good point. It's what I keep saying. You know, and they should do it on both sides. If you put out numbers or facts or things that are just incorrect, but it's like you just can't. How many times? I think we need to just keep saying it over and over again that he has created more jobs this year than George Bush did in 8 years. And you can't make up numbers.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, yes, I can.
Okay.
Just watch me.
All right. Bill in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
Stephanie, this is Daryl. How are you?
All right. That's fine. Go ahead.
I just love your show. I'm a recent viewer. I just wanted to give not only Michigan a wake-up call, but the rest of America. Union jobs are what advanced all the great things that all workers benefit from. Insurance, 40-day work week,
yep,
worker rights.
Yep.
And since when did it become a bad thing to protect well-paying, well-tax-paying jobs that are here in America?
Yep, I know. I know. I'm totally with you. Yeah, because all the people that are bitching, you know, you'd be working weekends and 1,000 hours a week if it weren't for unions. So there.
Yep.
Harumph. Wow, I have a... Can I have my flipper music, please? It's yet another...
Wheel
yeah,
of right-wing hypocrites!
I mean, it can't be said enough what an incredible flip-flopper Mitt Romney is.
Right.
But there was a story in the LA Times yesterday, Jim, that I... It just... It literally is like, Mitt Romney it worked to combat climate change as a governor, and really, like, not just a little. He was very, like, deeply a believer. This was a story during the first 18 months as governor of Massachusetts. Mitt Romney spent considerable time hammering out a sweeping climate change plan to reduce the state's greenhouse gas emissions.
Hmm.
I mean, this is a story about not only how far right the Republican Party has gone, but how completely principleless and soulless Mitt Romney is.
Mm-hmm.
He's just...
It's almost like he's had a lobotomy.
Yes.
Like they just
removed
his brain and put
who attended the meetings in Massachusetts at that time said it was like a mantra with him. His cabinet members would look at him like, what? He was like, he was the radical in the room on climate change. Before doing an about-face toward the end of his term as he began to prepare for his first run for president. I mean, this guy has no other principle but getting himself elected.
That's right.
Romney pushed to close old coal-fired plants, encouraged the development of renewable energy, and contained sprawl. Steps similar to exactly what President Obama has done. Just like health care, which is exactly what Mitt Romney did, and that's why it was based on... indeed, one of Romney's top environmental staffers now runs the air pollution unit of the EPA under Obama. A scientist Romney turned to on at least one occasion to discuss climate change, the White House senior advisor on science and technology issues. Romney's gubernatorial record on energy and environment had little in common with the positions he has staked out in the presidential
right.
race. The presumptive nominee expresses doubts about climate science like the majority of his party now, and his official website has no mention of environmental policy except for reining in the Clean Air Act and the EPA. That's it.
Wow.
Here's something that's, I'm sure, totally unrelated. Romney's top energy donors, all fossil fuel companies.
Of course.
Huh.
Hmm.
The Romney campaign says there is no contradiction between what he says on the stump now and what he did in Massachusetts as governor. Except that it's completely the opposite. But... Other than that, Romney says he plans to aid coal and oil production if elected, pare back environmental regulations, and place alternative energy on the back burner. Yes. He's called for amending the Clean Air Act so the EPA could not regulate greenhouse gas emissions like dioxide.
God.
A move critics say would allow politicians, not scientists, to determine what is not a pollutant. Check this out. Noted new scientist Mitt Romney said, I exhale carbon dioxide. I don't want those guys following me around with a meter to see if I'm breathing too hard.
That's not how it works, sir.
Wow. One of Romney's former, his former super secretary over a lot of areas in Massachusetts said we probably spent more time discussing climate change than anything else. Wow. I mean.
It's like he was part of a CIA mind control experiment.
But you know what? This just shows that Republicans will believe anything Mitt Romney tells them.
Mitt Romney believes anything that he tells himself.
He stands by what he says, whatever it was.
God, I'm so glad I'm not a Republican.
Okay, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What the hell was that?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the very best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. All right. The Justice Department announced yesterday it will give up its criminal case against John Edwards. Good. Melanie Sloan of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics says, as noted by nearly every campaign finance lawyer who considered the matter, this was a lousy case. Can I just say, I think that goes to our friend was just talking about the how frustrating the mainstream media can be because they're so afraid of being seen as liberal that I think they go too far the other direction, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I think I have to say, I think the Justice Department, they did the same thing because they know they would have been accused of being biased if they didn't prosecute John Edwards. And it was a lousy case. Like, he, of course, he's a dirtbag, but it's like.
But they're afraid of Fox News.
Right. Yep. They're afraid that, you know, Fox News would go, oh, my God, you know. So I think they went out of their way to say, oh, yes, we, you know, we're being even-handed. We prosecute both sides. But, you know, again, law is law. There's not two sets of facts. And it just, I don't think they ever had a case. All right. They should ask, maybe Fox News could ask Newt Gingrich about if you can be convicted of just being a dirtbag. Then...
yeah. Frankly, guilty as charged, frankly, repeatedly.
Mark in Tennessee.
Thank you so much, frankly.
Frankly. Hi, Mark.
Hey,
Stephanie. Hi. I have the misfortune of being represented in the U.S. Senate by Bob Corker.
Oh, dear. Dear.
And I just looked it up on Open Secrets. Apparently, four of his top five largest contributing groups are finance, banking, real estate, and insurance.
Oh, I'm sure he'd like to talk to you about that if he wasn't still spooning with Jamie Dimon.
Well, he's so small, he's sort of like a ventriloquist dummy. And he should have really been sitting on the lap of Jamie Dimon asking the questions.
I'd like to see him and Mitch Daniels in some sort of, you know, skit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, are you the most awesome guy in the world or in the entire universe?
They can form a little senatorial mini band. Okay. Bill in Albany, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Steph, official courier driver from Albany of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank
we
you.
Did love your show in Boston. I had a blast.
Aww.
I got to meet you, put my arm around you and everything, and I still haven't showered.
Oh, my goodness. Did you cop a little feel?
I had to because I had to hop in bed with my lovely wife who gave me the ticket to go.
Aw, awesome.
She could not go because she was playing the part of a bitchy British woman who gets out uncovered at the end of the play as a transgendered male.
Oh, yikes.
She's in a community theater play of some sort?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But she's...
I didn't know they had a play about Ann Coulter.
Stop it.
And I got to tell you one more thing, Seth.
Yes.
There needs to be a program for vision checks for gay women in L.A. because you are smoking hot.
Oh.
And I can't understand why they wouldn't be attracted to you. Makes no sense.
Well, wait, what have you heard? What do you mean no one's attracted to me? All right, Bill, thank you.
Oh, I saw the picture on Facebook with the tumbleweed.
The tumbleweed? What's that?
In your lady parts.
Oh, that's very funny. All right, I don't know what the hell. That's.
Oh,
I went that.
That took a turn.
That took a turn for the weird.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. You know, I saw the story in the LA Times yesterday. Don't you love when they quote fake science in right-wing world?
Yeah.
Now I finally found out where it comes from. This. Article Dad and Dad versus Mom and Dad. Because you wonder, they quote these studies in right-wing world, like on Fox News, like, oh, I think we all know that all social science proves that kids grow up with a mother and father. Blah, 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 blah. And they just... A study released this week suggests that contrary to what years of academic research, it says children of gay parents actually fare worse than others. I mean, it literally, this was research, quote-unquote, funded by, what's that right-wing group? Oh, National Organization for Marriage.
Oh,
this
of course.
This is the kind of fake science they tried to use at the Prop 8 trial, which is, and this is, they help fund this study. So right away you go, oh, here's the conclusion we'd like. How much money will it cost for you to do the research this way?
Yeah.
Check this out, because I always wonder what they're talking about on, you know, Fox News, etc. Let's see. He writes, who is this? Oh, Mark Regeneris is the guy that did this study. He writes that children of same-sex parents experience greater household instability than others, that could be, and it could be too much of a social gamble to support this new but tiny family form.
Based on
the trouble is, that's not what Regeneris' study shows, not by a long shot, and the claims he makes play into a long-standing pattern of conservative scholars and activists misinterpreting the data on LGBT families. His study does not actually compare children raised by same-sex couples with those raised by different-sex couples. The criterion it uses is whether a parent has ever had a romantic relationship with someone of the same sex. Indeed, the study acknowledges what it's really comparing with heterosexual families is not families headed by a same-sex couple, but households in which parents broke up. It's like, A failed heterosexual union, he writes in the study, is clearly the modal method, the most common characteristic for the group that he lumps in with same-sex-headed households. I mean, this is just... they literally do make up their own science.
How did they get away with that?
But no scientist... That's not how you do studies. You need, like, a... The trouble is that no scholarly research, including the Regeneris paper, has ever compared children of stable same-sex couples to children of stable different-sex couples.
According to
in
our
part...
studies, 2 plus 2 equals cheese.
Yes. What?
I'd like to review your methodology.
Yeah, they didn't have a, he admits he didn't have an adequate sample size. He went ahead and made the comparison anyway. Yeah. Like the Regeneris paper, all these studies show is that divorced and single parenthood raise risks for kids. Indeed, the basis of the 20-year quote-unquote consensus is that two parents are better than one, not parents have to be different genders. Anyway. But he makes, and they make a good point in this piece in the LA Times. There's a larger point that there's no basis in the recent history of American social policy for testing the parenting skills of a class of citizens before we grant them permission to parent or marry. So, you know, here we go again trying to have different rules for gay people. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no movement to preemptively remove kids from broken homes after divorce, for instance. I mean, that's obviously the study that shows, again, people that come from broken homes are the ones that have, you know, the most trouble. What are we going to do? Make a law where we take away kids the minute there's a divorce? Growing up in poverty increases the risk of a wide range of social and psychological ills. Good point. No one's proposing banning poor people from marriage or child rearing. So he goes on to say some ethnic and racial groups are statistically less likely to get or stay married, yet there's no ethnic litmus test for marriage and parenting, only a gay one.
Our study of gay mastodons have shown them to be very bad parents. There are no more mastodons.
What? That doesn't matter. Oh, yeah, that's the way good science is done. Start with a conclusion and then work backwards.
Right.
All right, Joe in Long Beach, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, you know that you can take numbers and kind of make them do anything you want. I was kind of reminded of that the other day when Billy from Texas called and he was speaking of Obama, you know, running a deficit of $1.2 trillion.
Right.
You know, $1.2 trillion is a lot of money, but relative to the GDP, which it's always compared to, it's less than 10%.
Well, and also he inherited a trillion-dollar deficit, so
there's that.
He did.
Yeah.
Yes.
He did, you know, and you know, I'm looking at a chart that indicates the national debt by president, and if you look at Republicans and the debt that they ran up, the deficit that they ran up, you know, you've got... Reagan and Bush, you know, and Bush won, doubled the deficit. And then
exactly. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, Carlos El Rocky next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com, the website, sexyliberal.com, the sexyliberal website, for all the upcoming shows and merch and such. And meanwhile, who's that handsome gent over there?
Hello. That's good coffee.
I take it back. That's my man.
Coffee with Carlos Sells Rocky.
I have a Zimbabwe latte.
I'll have a Kenya cappuccino.
She never has a second cup of coffee at home.
Mountain-grown coffee.
Carlos Sells Rocky.
I was going to make espresso.
And baked by Juan Valdez.
Coffee with Carlos.
Good to the last drop.
The awkward part is just sitting through that introduction every time.
Yeah.
I kind of like it. It'd be nice if that was every day, everywhere I went for an audition.
Yeah.
Yes, we have Carlos Alves. Hold on.
All right.
I walked here from my new home.
You got a new house?
Yes, I did.
What?
We lived very close by. I was holding my breath the entire time because, like Mitt Romney, I didn't want the government to follow me around to try to clean up my hot air. But I did have a thought. If you want to commit suicide, just park your car in the garage with Mitt in the passenger seat and have him talk.
There you go.
And or strap you to the roof. Good night, folks.
Good night,
everybody. Thing on.
Good night. All right. By the way, speaking of which, Carlos Alzrocki will be at Flappers right here in Burbank.
Yeah. Right here.
Yeah. We are first sitting next Friday and Saturday, the 15th
this
and 16th.
Friday.
Oh, I'm sorry. 15th and 16th. That's this Friday.
Yeah, that's
sorry.
This week.
Sorry.
Hello, in America.
Hello.
Stephanie's way too busy.
The mic is
hiding my face on for the television screen. Hello.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? I kept the hate letters to read for Carlos.
Okay.
Because you get hate mail right now because you're on TV a lot.
Yes.
So you get a better class of hate mail, I think.
Oh, yes.
When people can see you and hate you.
Capital letters.
As opposed to just hearing you and hating you.
Yes.
This was, I think, the most puzzling hate letter we've gotten in quite some time. Anthony says, just want to let you know I never watch your show and just happened to turn on my TV and it was on. That never ends well.
Mm-hmm.
For starters, your show is horrible. Here's the part that, well, I'll just skip to the part that puzzled us. I'm sure by the looks of your show and the topics discussed, you're probably Baptist.
We've been outed.
Hypocrisy probably consumes your life, and you have a very manly voice, and women who wear hats are downright stupid.
Aww. Did he put "and so nyeh" at the end? That's a better. That's a great.
Wow.
So nyeh.
Stupid Baptist in a hat show.
Nah,
welcome
see.
To it. It's, I don't know.
I went to a Baptist haberdashery, and they were all out of pointy hats.
Oh, look!
No, that would be a milliner. A milliner makes hats.
Oh.
Yes.
Jody in Chicago.
Martin Milliner.
Jody in Chicago wants to give me a positive love letter. Why, looky, it's a love letter.
Okay.
Steph, I want to respond to the writer who said that, this was a caller that said you look much better in person than on TV. I met you at Sexy Liberal in Chicago, Stephanie. Though it's true you're very beautiful in person, you're equally as beautiful on TV with your cute little hat. Oh, Jody. Also, can you wear more orange shirts, please? Thank you, Jody. Chicago with a request. She thinks I look super in my hat.
I'm super. Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super.
Okay.
Now nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Thank you.
That would match the orange felt shirt she made on the puppet she made of you. And creation like dinner for schmucks. Entire thing of rats.
So it's a new thing to be divided over, whether you're pro hat or anti hat.
What are you hiding under that hat?
Yeah, what are you hiding?
Government regulations. Brain. No, my hair is connected to it, like Jose Hebert.
Oh yeah,
I have no hair.
Jose Hebert.
Yeah, it's just connected to the hat. Yeah.
Oh, like the guy from Poison. That was on Fuck My World.
Yes.
Oh,
what's
no.
I should know it. Brett Michaels.
Brett Michaels.
There you go.
It's real hair. It's real hair.
Yeah. Okay, I mentioned this story to Jackie Schechner. There's going to be a debate on immigration. In this, among other topics, Carlos,
immigration.
This is what's wrong with the border. Border agents are drunkenly each other at Cirque du Soleil shows. That's what they're doing, rather than securing the border.
Oh, well, they're going after those French Canadians that are trying to sneak in illegally. They tumbled their way into.
This was here.
Illegalement.
Two U.S. Border Patrol agents were having sex during a Cirque du Soleil performance in Del Mar, California.
Wow.
Callie and Gerald somebody were ushered out, but not before the woman Border Patrol agent punched one of the female complainers.
Wow.
She was charged with misdemeanor assault. And the other agent charged with being drunk in public. So there you go. That's what's happening with the border.
Huh. Meanwhile, at the fence, there's a hole.
Hey.
Or, hey, there's a hole, eh? These snowbacks that come over and take our jobs.
There's like a hole.
He's coming
in
there on their rollerblades.
With their poutine.
Look out. Look at his comedians all Canadian comedians are coming, taking all the good jobs here. So can we do something about that?
Well, I was just in Edmonton, Alberta, trying to take it back, hey? But they're so nice in Canada. Yeah. And, you know, I wanted to say this. I just came back from Edmonton, Alberta, and I was lucky enough to go to Australia. And I didn't notice anybody walking around going, oh, the government's overbearing. They love their health care.
Yeah.
Like, uniformly.
Yeah.
Nobody was like, oh, I can't get a gun. At the West Edmonton Mall, there's a shooting range. You can go fire away.
Sure.
It's a lot of fun. But they leave the guns there, eh?
Yeah. Right.
And
eh?
They're not complaining about it.
Well,
that's
like
all I know.
Well, like said in Bowling for Columbine, there are as many guns per capita in Canada as there are here, but hardly anyone gets killed by them.
Yeah,
because gotta leave them there in the locker.
Yeah, I remember that part of the film that, you know, lock. What's a lock on a door? We don't. None of them lock their doors at night. It's
right there across from Windsor, across from Detroit.
Why would you need to do that?
It's just Pete again. He took some of our stuff. We go back to his house and take it back.
Took my hockey shirt.
You bastard.
You throw the stuff on the Chesterfield.
Yeah.
Pete. I digress. It's just a little story from Edmonton, Alberta. That's it.
All right, time for a naked stack.
Okay.
Man flees home naked after finding spider. A southern Illinois man awakened to find a spider in his bed, and he fled through a glass door naked.
Oh, ow.
The disoriented man apparently ran through a glass storm door during his escape,
naked,
cutting his arms, legs, and finger.
Yeah.
The sheriff does not suspect drugs or alcohol. No, a spider.
A spider's enough.
What else do you need? You're naked with a spider.
Although, if you're going to be doing that to yourself, I hope it was like a big tarantula and
it's
not like
be
a little dead,
yeah,
long legs,
oh,
little stupid
be
spider.
Right.
I mean, well, come on.
That'd be embarrassing.
Yeah.
Of course, if it's a fiddleback. What is
poisonous one. Fiddleback?
No.
A brown recluse.
Brown recluse.
That thing was not reclusive, I'm telling you. It was right out in the open.
Oh, so you're racist against spiders now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it better have been tarantula, like, attached to
his
face.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that is really
alien. Embarrassing.
Prometheus, are you seeing this? There's a spider.
That's really girly, man, unless it was big. All right. This is the Naked in Walmart stack, which that's like could be its whole own.
Oh, every Friday, Naked Walmart stack day.
Well, that and cooking meth.
Yeah.
In Walmart. Either in the aisles. Oh, and then the woman that was got caught for shoplifting, she was making it in the
holding room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mental health officials, what you think, are evaluating a man who was taken into custody after running naked through the aisles of a Rhode Island Walmart.
Oh.
Yes. Workers in the store called Wednesday to report a naked man was running through the store yelling incoherently.
As you do.
But that happens all the time in Walmart. Naked,
right. Well,
people running through there yelling incoherently.
He probably couldn't find which aisle you get the meth in. He's probably upset.
It's because of the falling prices.
These prices are insane!
So am I.
Gary in Texas, you're on with Carlos. Hello, Gary. Hi, Gary.
Hello.
Gary. Going once, going twice.
No, Gary's in Indiana.
Regis in Detroit. Hi, Regis.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Hey, Carlos. What's going on?
Hey,
I just want to make a comment on something you guys had spoke of earlier, and which was the John Edwards and how the Attorney General felt as though that they had to go forward in prosecuting them.
Yeah.
In fact, is that we are being bullied to believe that we're bullying, or the rights, or the media is bullying. I lost my train of thought. So anyway,
that's
Stephanie,
okay.
Have a good day.
All right. Goodbye now. Yeah. All right. That's okay. That's all right.
And also, that one time in fan camp,
I think he was making the same analogy I am, that mainstream media is so
spider
scared of being called liberal, they go the other way.
Yeah.
I think they're, you know.
Okay.
Right. So that's what I was saying, is the Justice Department doesn't, you know, they knew that they would scream, you know, they're not being bipartisan if they don't go after Edwards. So anyway.
Oh, sure, you went after Nixon.
And what did he really do? Yeah, exactly. Carlos says, Rocky, I'm guessing you got a new house because of the baby.
Because of the baby, yes. We're expanding, and we wanted more room, more privacy, things like that.
Privacy.
You know, closer to school, walk to school, that kind of thing.
Happy Father's Day, preemptively. It's
Thank
this
you
Sunday.
Very much.
It should be your first. Is it your
it's
first
my one? Second one.
Second
I think.
One. Okay.
Yeah. Second one with this baby. Whoops.
Did I say too much?
Yes, and I'll be spending it in a comedy club all weekend. Yeah, Daddy's going to be out this weekend. Just give me a card and scrub my feet. Yes, it's a new house, walking distance right here in the lovely village of Burbank.
Sweet.
Yeah. Oh, you ought to do what Michelle Obama did. She sent out, did you get an email from Michelle Obama yesterday? I did.
I did too.
I wish Barack a happy Father's Day.
Yep.
We should do that for you, and then there's a little donate button. Please donate. Carlos Alzeraqui's new
Hussein
mortgage.
Carlos Hussein Alzeraqui.
Yes.
Barack Alzeraqui.
She, it says, from coaching basketball to knowing how many Jonas Brothers there are. How many Jonas Brothers?
Three. You're 17.
Three.
Only
You're
three
a
that perform.
Bad father. Bad.
Only three that perform live. But
and how many are in Hanson?
95.
Anyway, Barack's a pretty cool dad, writes Michelle Obama. More importantly, Barack's a wonderful father and partner. No matter what's on his plate, he puts the kids first, and he knows how much they know how much he loves them. The email goes, you can virtually sign the e-card, and then you can donate money.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm starting to memorize lyrics from the Fresh Beat Band. That's a good father.
Except old people that aren't online. They'll be like, I'll just send him a card with a dollar in it.
Yeah. I wonder what a Father's Day request for money from the Romney family would look like.
Wow.
Yeah.
It would be, it would just send a Brinks truck. It would be a card made out of money.
Yeah.
Click on the silver spoon.
Yeah, exactly. From Zeke and Zeb and Ted and Fred and
we
and
made
Gorb.
This card out of materials from our deposit box.
Oh, by the way, here's a soundbite of the most awkward man in the world.
Oh.
Yes. This is it because he does not understand people that are not the right height, neither trees nor people.
I met a guy yesterday, 7 feet tall. I figured he had to be in sport, but he wasn't in sport.
Oh, my goodness.
He wasn't in sport.
He wasn't
in
German. I figured he must be in Russian. What, you're not in sport.
You're not in sport.
Why not in sport? 7 feet tall.
You're tall. Why are you not in sport?
You have to be in sport. What is it? What is he doing?
There's an S at the end of sport.
You are 2 meters five, and you are not in sport.
2 meters, how many
stones? Chris, which Republican
is that?
Am I thinking of that continually asks a black television anchor what sport he played?
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't play anything. It's just, okay.
Yeah, I can't
Okay,
remember.
Not every black guy played a sport.
I can't believe
also
it.
Also in England, they say sport.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. But that's very...
Are you in sport?
And
the audience were laughing as they played sport.
He can't Maybe identify donuts or...
Sport.
Maybe they say sport in Switzerland, where he banks.
All right.
Do.
18 minutes after the hour. Back with more Carlos.
Alice
Rocky. Yes. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Can you absolutely positively guarantee that it will give me an orgasm?
Yeah.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Carlos Alzeraqui.
Just
comedian.
Moved to Funky Town.
I lived in Funky Town.
Yes. Did you?
Oh. Yeah, on Bass Avenue. Hey. Right on the corner of Flashlight and Neon Light.
All right. Claudia in Ohio, where the president and Mitt Romney are today. Hello, Claudia.
I'm just not. I'm going to tell her to calm down on
okay.
me.
Okay. You know. She doesn't know she's
Claudia.
Hey, Claudia.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
She pocket dialed herself.
Hi.
Hi.
I've been waiting so long. Anyway, I want to talk about Kasich. Can I?
Yes, please.
Oh, well, he's the hypocrite that's in our government here.
Yes. Yes.
And he's taken away January 1st our estate taxes. Well, he'll have them to go play the casinos with.
Yeah.
And he's taken everything and privatized it. And they found out that, you know, the jobs he's going to bring in here with that, they're creamy. That's unconstitutional because if you privatize something, you don't turn around and ask for stimulus money for it.
That's right.
He's taken the voting away from all of the rural people. They can't get in here. He's stopping the voting.
Mm-hmm.
In our. He's just about got us fixed with cement over the top of all of us here. We're not going to have any teachers, firefighters. Our property taxes are going to go sky high.
Yep, and don't you love that he's taking credit for the unemployment rate when it's clearly the auto industry rescue that is, you know, that is what's benefited Ohio,
well,
right?
They ought to send him back to Lehman Brothers. That's where he came from, Fox News,
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
Lehman Brothers, because that's the only place that they ever crucify anybody or put them up in jail, and he'll go with them.
Okay. All right, Claudia. All right. She
got that out of her system.
Governor,
yes.
Who's an idiot.
Jim, explain what that is, because you always do when we talk about
Kasich. Kasich was talking about when he was stopped by a policeman.
Yes.
And was just ranting on and on forever. Do you ever run into a cop who is an idiot.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. In their unguarded moments, it shows how they feel about, you know, regular
public workers,
right,
employees,
cops and firemen and whatever. You know?
Speeding, schmeeting.
Let's go to Jill in Eureka. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jill.
I can't believe I'm on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. Me neither.
I love you guys so much.
Aww, thanks, Jill.
But I'm calling to tell you something super, super funny and then something very serious. The funny thing is you're in Eureka on KGOE 1480. There's a Catholic radio station that always bumps into your program.
Oh, dear.
So on top of the fart jokes and the squeezy.
They mix it with the hat-wearing Baptist show.
And the praying, oh, Holy Mother, please pray for us, Mother Jesus.
Oh,
and
boy.
In the background, it just doesn't go. It doesn't work. But it's funny. It's very funny. But the other thing is I just ran into a friend in the store that said, oh, I'm finally going to get a mammogram and a colonoscopy for free. I said, how? I'm 52. I've been waiting for this. She told me about Obama's health care reform, and she said, go call your insurance company. And I called them. I found out you can get a colonoscopy, mammogram, all of those preventive health care things.
Yes.
And I didn't know. How come I never knew? How come my doctor didn't tell me? How come it's not being told? How come we don't know?
Well, this is what we're saying. That I mean, I think the Republicans did a better job spinning and demagoguing health care. And this is what we've been saying, you know, Jill, the more people know the good things that are in it, the more they, and this is why the Republicans, frankly, are panicking now.
Mm-hmm.
Over health care, you know, if they repeal it, because there's all this stuff, you know, pre-existing condition, kids on their, you know,
living
parents'
till,
insurance till 26, closing the donut hole, that, you know, and this. But, you know, this is saving people's lives. How about this one? Seniors have saved $3.5 billion on prescription drug costs thanks to the affordable care provision.
That's right.
That closes the cover, the donut hole, like I was just talking about. But if the Supreme Court strikes it down, those drug savings could end, according to a drug industry spokesman. I mean, this is part of what we got in the deal that was not easy. To get 80 Medicare participants lost would be the pharmaceutical company's gain, because they would not have to shell out the $80 billion to help fix the, you know, the donut hole.
There'll be a million-man march to the Capitol. Nope, it's down to 900 now. Nope. Sorry.
Yeah, it's, I'm not sure what's going to happen with the Supreme Court. I'm nervous. It's coming. When is it, Chris?
Oh,
end
man.
Of, yeah, pretty the, soon. End
know,
of June.
Yeah, there's no set time for it. It's whenever it happens, but within the next month.
With, when five out of the nine Supreme Court judges are in Slytherin, it's not looking good.
Exactly. Hey! Harry Potter reference.
Yeah, well, they're all wearing the same robes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just about as intelligent.
Nicely done. Nicely done. All right. Carl, you can hear more of that at Flappers in Burbank.
Whoa!
Friday and Saturday night, if you're here in Burbank.
8 and 10 p.m., Carlos Salas Rocky, Jill Michelle Melian. It's a great show.
It's fabulous. All right.
It's a great venue, too.
Yeah.
Good food.
Good pizza.
Aisha likes that place, too.
Mm-hmm. Flapper, come here. Sounds like a dolphin with a bad dorsal fin. Come on, right. He just swims in circles.
Celebrity Stack next, and more Carlos on the Stephanie Miller Show next.
Wacky as those kids were, they were no match for Captain Wacky, later renamed Stephanie Miller.
That's right.
Captain Wacky to you.
Hey, Captain Wacky.
That was
wacky
my morning
you,
television show in Buffalo when I was growing up.
Okay.
Yeah. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Carl, you just said something interesting during the break, but it's, to me, the difference between Democrats and Republicans.
Messaging regarding messaging, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's talk about it, Jim. We talked about a perfect ad campaign, the Obama campaign this year, would be actual footage of firemen, policemen in New York City running into the World Trade Center, rescuing people, helping them out, helping them breathe, giving them water, with Mitt Romney's, you know,
we got too many
soundbites. Yeah. We don't need more firemen.
We don't need any
more firemen. That's the difference. I'm sorry, decency, because the Republicans had no problem using them as campaign props, firemen, 9/11 over and over again. You know, but, I mean, the Democrats aren't, we're not going to do, you know, the president's not going to do that. This is the
but
problem.
But that's not
so
related.
Now they don't need them anymore. Now they're the enemy somehow, cops and firemen.
Yeah. Teachers.
Firefighters.
Teachers are evil.
Yeah.
They make your kids Jeez. Too smart to vote Republican.
Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
He wanted a less educated voting public.
Well, there I go again.
Because they're easier to control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go to Donita and her dog Angel watching the TV. And I don't know where you are. Hi, Donita.
We're in Florida.
Florida.
We're in Florida.
Go to Purge.
Oh, my goodness. It's just so wonderful. Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, crew.
Good morning.
Those that I can see and everyone in the background, we appreciate you so much. I love you, Stephanie, and I love all your people.
Donita, what kind of dog is Angel?
Pomeranian.
Oh, he's a good girl.
She's a rescue Pomeranian. Yes, she does twirl around. But
do you make her dance for her food?
Yes.
No. No, I don't do that. But I just wanted to tell you this little quick anecdote that was interesting to me, and I thought you'd like it. It just came out of nowhere. Last night, Angel and I were speaking to a small group of people, and just out of the clear blue, someone said, if you could snap your fingers and make magic, what would you do? And I said, I would give Current TV to all of America and the world. And I got like about 15 different applause people that had Current, and then later I talked other people into getting Current.
Thank you.
You know, that is, I mean, it's the truth. That's the way you find the truth.
Somewhere Al Gore is smiling.
Let me tell you one thing, Donita. You and Angel are both good girls! Good girls! Here's his message. Okay. All right. Yeah. Where did you come up with that bit? That's my favorite. What is it? It's an arthritic poodle.
Oh, yeah.
For
of course, the old lady's dog couldn't pull her across the street. Its hips are all already arthritic and worn out after years of dancing for its food. Come on, get it, Trisket. Because our own lives are so crappy, we take it out on our pets. Come on, Dads. Give me the food, you A. Blank hole.
Okay, but you have to see Carlos live because he does the poodle dancing for its food. And it's
not my fault you're trapped in a crappy marriage. Give me the food.
Oh.
Now you're still trying to walk it, drag it on the floor. It can still walk.
Oh. Now you're going to have to do Faraway Dog.
That's our neighbors in the town where I don't live.
Like
every morning
at
6 o'clock. And then you hear, no! No! Stop it!
Which is louder than
the
barking.
And the no is louder
right.
than the barking.
Yeah, of course.
You're waking up the neighbors! Stop barking!
Yeah, I hear faraway dogs every night. But it's not funny. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Oh, my days. I'm glad I have a place in your heart and your brain.
You do. All right.
Now go for your
celebrity stack. Vanessa Bryant calls off divorce from Kobe, but she's already got half his money. Nicely
what?
Done.
Yeah.
She's calling it off?
As Celeb Bitchy says, who's the player now? she will not sign documents to make her divorce final, at least for now. She and Kobe are working on a reconciliation.
Okay.
Or she's working on getting the other half. He's got to have like 7 Newt Gingrich accounts at Tiffany's, doesn't he, at this point? He apparently was cheating again. What? Yes. She filed divorce, got $75 million, all 3 of his mansions. Wow.
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 All 3?
Yeah, apparently.
Just 3?
I guess so. Yeah.
Well, marry a basketball player, you're in for an adventure.
Mm. Okay, another celebrity divorce news. Denise Richards got dumped by Richie Sambora because of Charlie Sheen.
Uh-oh.
There he goes again. Superficial writing. Charlie Sheen on a steady diet of porn stars and Coke for breakfast, so of course he wouldn't think twice about openly stating his hopes of banging Denise Richards again during a Rolling Stone interview, which she was cordial enough to participate in to make him sound like a decent father despite all that coke and porn stars I just mentioned. Turns out it didn't sit well with Richie Sambora, who broke up with her.
Yeah, if you got a Charlie in the closet.
Nobody wants a Charlie in the closet.
Nobody. You got to donate to the Goodwill there.
No child wants to play with a Charlie in the box.
No child wants a Charlie in the closet for
in
a
the
father.
Closet.
Oh, boy. All right. The cat fight is continuing, Carlos, between Lady Gaga and Madonna. Yeah. Well, you know, she did this. Because Born This Way is similar to Express
Very
Yourself.
Very similar.
Yeah.
Everybody says that.
So Madonna did what everyone thought was kind of bitchy. Like, she does a little of Express Yourself, goes right into Born This Way, and then just right
concert,
back out of it.
Yeah.
Without commenting.
Poor Cruella de Vil. No one can take my legacy. Now go and find those dogs!
Bring me those puppies!
Lady Gaga has struck back in the catfight. She said things are really different than they were 25 years ago. That's what makes Born This Way so relevant for me. We're socially in a different place, and it's okay. We don't have to all slice and hate each other anymore. Like you old-timers.
Maybe she can get together with Warren Beatty and stalk her.
All right. Fine American and country music superstar Carrie Underwood goes to bat for gay marriage.
Yes.
How about that?
Yay, Carrie!
Yeah, country star who played in a charity softball game. Oh, well, that's a sign.
Oh, stop it. She's married to a hockey player.
Of course. She said, as a married person myself, I don't know what it's like to be told I can't marry someone I love and want to marry. I can't imagine how that must feel. I definitely think we all should have the right to love and love publicly the people we want to love. Our church is gay-friendly. Above all, God wanted us to love others. It's not about setting rules or saying everyone has to be like me. No, we're all different. That's what makes us special. We have to love each other and get on with each other. It's not up to me to judge
anybody.
That's right.
Yep.
Good for her.
Head to the Carrie Underwood CD burning party.
You know, I give her a lot of kudos because in the country music world, as Shelley Wright knows.
Yeah, well, funny you should mention that. Shelley Wright will be on the show tomorrow, official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show. Her documentary, Wish Me Away, mm-hmm. you've got to see it. It's opening in L.A., I think it's opened in a bunch of places already, but it's opening in L.A., Lemley's Music Hall in Beverly Hills.
That's right.
The premiere is tomorrow night. I'm going with the girl gang tomorrow night.
Nice.
There you go.
What is and Shelley will be on the show tomorrow, but you got to see this documentary. Yeah. It's amazing.
But in the country music world, it does still, unfortunately, take a lot of courage to come out and say something like that. So a lot of kudos to Carrie Underwood.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think it harder would be for a dude to come out in the country.
Yeah.
that'll be. Yeah.
No, there have been rumors about a lot of them.
I know.
But,
really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we all know who we're talking mm-hmm. about. Okay.
Well,
Bristol Palin has a new reality show. I loved Cella Vichy is becoming one of my new favorites.
Yeah.
She's promoting her new Lifetime reality show, Life's a Trip. See, because her son's...
Trip.
Linda Tripp.
Not Linda Tripp.
I want to be on television.
Hold your fat bitch!
Bristol. I have a blue dress for you to wear.
A Palin would name their kid after Linda Tripp. Yeah. Maybe Tripp is named after Linda Tripp.
That's funny.
Yes, Cella Vichy saying she was on GMA yesterday to discuss the show. I found her as defensive and unlikable as I have in the past. Like mother, like daughter.
I'm not defensive. You're the one that's defensive. Shut up.
People are going to see the real Palin in Bristol in this show, she said. I don't think that's she said, I think I have tough skin and I know God is on my side.
Shoot, I thought he was on my side.
No,
I'll have to text him.
I don't think God takes a whole lot of sides.
Well, we know one thing, he's a reality TV fan, for sure.
I'm sorry, I'm busy with the Kardashians.
Earth is a reality TV show.
I think he's more of a
show.
Desperate Housewives fan.
You know what? He DVRs everything because he can.
Yes. There's no storage limit on God's DVR.
No, absolutely not. He doesn't have to delete anything.
Reality is 97% full.
Let's start deleting. I need to do that in my life. I've got entirely too much reality.
Them boys that kill
the
babies
are not babies. I've got to start putting some fiction in so I feel better.
You probably have some, like, Meet the Presses from 3 years ago on the DVR.
I don't know how to delete.
I'm sorry, Bristol. I can't help you. I'm busy watching Swamp People.
Walter Cronkite? What? He retired?
Cajun Pawn Stars.
My faith is everything to me, and when people are talking poorly about me, I think it just gives me more motivation to do more and want to speak up even louder.
Oh.
And they're not just doing themselves well by doing that. Oh. Wow, she has, in addition to the same grammar
the word salad,
as her
and
mother.
Such.
Wow.
Betcha.
All the defensive victimhood without the grammar.
Maybe will she shoot a beautiful creature live like Mama did?
Mm.
Moops in the chat room says, I wonder if God's DVR locks up too.
This is like magic.
Okay.
Wow. She is like her mom. Just talk louder. If people are saying bad things about you, just talk in that screechy tone that makes your ears bleed.
Guys and gals.
And garage doors fly open, and women's tampons fly out, and just...
You can't hear Faraway Dog when Sarah speaks.
No.
Guys and gals!
Faraway Dog is holding his ears.
And gals!
Oh, jeez.
Tom Cruise says Suri Cruz burst into tears upon meeting Russell Brand.
Well, wouldn't you?
Well, she's obviously been talking to Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Well, Sadie, why are you crying?
Why are you crying?
Stop it.
Look, I'm English. No, I'm funny.
I'm gangly.
They're nice people.
It's all a show. Don't cry, little creature.
There is nothing funny nor interesting about Russell Brand, and I'm tired of him being pushed down our throats.
I like him. He's gangly.
I'm Katy, apparently.
He's in his underwear.
I can't stand that guy.
Hello,
you like me because I'm British. Listen to my accent. Look at my hair.
You stupid Americans.
You don't get my humor.
Do we have some Munsters music? This is very exciting. They're doing a what do you call it? NBC is they're doing a
reboot.
Reboot. Exactly. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Portia de Rossi will play Lily Munster. I just saw her at the benefit last week for Obama. She's
and
beautiful.
Paul Ryan as Eddie.
I was going to say, isn't that wonderful? Paul Ryan has just been cast
with
Eddie.
Patrick.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
Yes.
I won't go.
You've got to leave Congress.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
You can't leave me. All right.
And some interesting, Jerry O'Connell.
Will be Herman Munster. Eddie Izzard is Grandpa.
Yep.
Huh, there you go.
Oh, Eddie Izzard is Grandpa. Hal Lewis.
But this is not going to be a half-hour sitcom. It's going to be like an hour-long drama kind of thing. It's going to be weird.
Oh, that's going to be weird.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How about the Beverly Munster Billies? I can see it now.
46 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of Coffee with Carlos. That was Rocky on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, God. That feels weird and good all at once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yes. Oh, I did want to say that they do not have Mucinex in Canada.
Oh
really?
In case you go there with a cold and you're counting on getting some Mucinex.
Oh, dear.
They don't have it.
Okay.
America
good to
rules.
Know.
Okay.
America's better.
All right.
GTK.
Thank you. All right.
They have Mucinex.
That little burst of jingoism brought to you by Coffee with Carlos.
That's all right. To say.
Café with Carlos.
All right. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Tracy in L.A. been waiting so long. Hi, Tracy. You're on with Carlos.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I know you're going to get me right while I'm ordering my breakfast sandwich at Subway in El Segundo.
Oh, boy.
Hey, yikes.
Nice plug.
Oh, living the dream. Living the dream.
That's
all right.
The best Subway.
Living the dream. Living the dream. Listen, I just wanted to try to make a point. You know, so people will stop believing the hype that the Republicans are putting out and that we don't need to spend. Try that on your own personal finances.
Yeah.
Try not investing in your own personal retirement and see how far you get.
Mm-hmm.
Try not paying your rent or paying your mortgage. You know, you want to be a property owner? You got to invest in some property. So miss me with all that mess. Cut it out. Stop the lying. Let's go.
Yes.
You guys have gone Hollywood. I can't get through anymore.
I know. Whoa. Tracy, we miss you. Love you. Can't live without you.
Guys,
all right.
Can I say hi to my 80-year-old mommy?
Sure.
Hi, mommy. Hi, E-Man. Woo-hoo.
Hi, what?
What was the second one? E-Man?
What's your mom's name?
E-Man. His name is Elijah. My mom's name is Wilma.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, Wilma! All right, here, let's
go. Wilma!
All right, now that's a shout-out. Robert in Boca Raton. Hello, Robert.
Hi, how you doing, Steph?
Good, go ahead.
First, let me say it's so fun to agree, laugh, and learn all at the same time. I just wanted to say a quick shout-out to Kurt because I'm finding it hard and harder to have anything else on my TV.
Yay!
Awesome. Love hearing that.
Yay. I know. There are all kinds of awesome new shows.
I can't wait for the new Vanguard shows, everything.
Yeah.
And I just recently discovered you, and I am so unbelievably blown away by you guys.
Oh. Gavin Newsom, a new show.
Every
Joy
Friday
Behar
night.
Coming in the fall. So, yeah, lots of great
stuff. Wonderful. My wife gets so angry because I tape all of them, and there's, you know, none of her shows, and it's all a list of mine.
Yeah,
that's right.
Because you don't have God's DVR.
I saw that before. I basically just have this point that I speak to my wife about. And, you know, the same Americans that put Bush in the White House for two terms, now these polls are coming out, and they're scaring the you-know-what out of me. And after I thought we learned this lesson of what was in the White House for so long. I just don't, please, I respect you so much in your intelligence. Can you just put it in a nutshell how, with the things that are coming out of this man's mouth, Romney, how this is so close, and I'm so scared. We're going to have the same, you know, thing we had with W. And,
well,
and I just, I don't understand the American
it's like
intelligence.
Robert, it's like the Obama poster last time. Chill out, mother. I got this. I think he's got this. So just everybody settle.
Yeah.
Stay calm.
She's got
although the Prop 29 in California sort of scares you about Citizens United and the possibilities in the national election, because that's why they created it in the first place, to allow all that money to come into Democrats are great at messaging, and the Republicans are good at messaging, and you have to dumb it down and make it very simple. I like Obama's analogy about ordering a steak dinner and leaving. And I've always used the analogy of a contractor came into your house named Bush. He messed it up, ruined a room, took out the plumbing, and then a new contractor comes in, and we say, we want you to fix it. Well, I'm the new contractor. You're going to have to spend money to fix it. What? Spend money to fix this?
We just spent all this money
yes,
to have it built
it's
badly.
Going to cost you money for me to repair all these things and build it correctly.
Yeah. Why don't you do it for free?
Go get it from the other guy.
Who do you think
the
you
messaging,
are?
It does. Yeah. I hope he has it, like you say. But again, the fact that one out of three people are only smokers in California, and a tax on cigarettes cannot win in California because of the money poured in by Citizens United. It does kind of make people a little bit scared about the national election.
Yeah, I hear you. Andy in California, you're on with Carlos. Hi, Andy.
Yes. Hi, good morning. My first comment is simply that I wanted to thank you for inspiring me to cast my first ever and probably only vote for Republican when I voted for Orly Tates last week.
Thank you. Everybody in the comedy community thanks you. We thank you for your efforts.
And I haven't been able to hear of any results of the Republican primary side. So if you could pass on any info, I would love that. But primarily I was calling regarding the Edwards trial. In only one small blurb in the L.A. Times when they were covering the ongoing trial, they talked about Andrew Young's testimony that he actually received and kept most of the money to build his multimillion-dollar mansion.
Yeah.
The money never went to the baby or
anything. I know. Well,
and so that kind of proves the point. He didn't know about it, you know, because why would he
allow
that?
We were saying, every lawyer said it was just he's a dirtbag, but it shouldn't have been prosecuted. It was just a bad case. Jill in Ithaca, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jill.
Hey. And Carlos,
yes.
As we used to say in the old days, you're a pisser.
You're
funny. You are funny. That's a compliment. And, yeah, well, I was going to go to Wisconsin last week. I was planning on doing that, and I couldn't because I got a really bad spider bite. And
did you run out of your window naked?
Not this time. That was the other time. But anyway, yeah, so I had hung clothes out on the line to dry, and I forgot to, like, check them out when I brought them in. So that's where it came from. But the little spider, when I saw him, he kind of looked like Walker. He looked like Scott Walker.
Ooh, the Walker spider. Ew.
The Walker dead.
Carlos has Rocky as, oh, look at you. You're right behind you as,
yes, I always sit in front of my picture.
Deputy Garcia, right?
That's right.
From Reno 911, one of your famous. Do you ever have women hit on you because they have a cop fantasy? Because they're, you know.
Not that I'm married. It never happens. Absolutely not. Back in the old days.
L2 to Pennsylvania, state trooper says an extremely drunk woman met him at the door wearing underpants and holding two yellow roses she wanted to accept as part of her cop fantasy before he charged her with drunk driving instead.
And you know what they call those people? Donut dollies. I learned that. I did an episode of CSI where my character was hit upon by a woman in a casino, and a cop advising the CSI show said that they call those people donut dollies.
Huh. Interesting.
Wow. I bet Mitt Romney can identify. Can identify them, but
no. Pastry dolly.
Did you see the footage of him trying to? He didn't know what a donut was. He was like, "Oh, those chocolate
goodies.
They're hair claws.
Hair claws. Yes.
Hair claws.
That's what they're called.
Put it on the roof.
All right, kids. Carlos at Flappers in Burbank here. Out here in the LA area, Friday and Saturday night.
May I please plug a wonderful organization called Michael's Learning Place in Hawthorne? I went there yesterday. They received some state funding, which will be cut if we don't watch out.
Michael's Learning Place. Shelley Wright and Fridays with Fugelsang tomorrow. See you on the Stephanie Miller Show.